Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up? It's the Crossover Pod Friday edition. I'm Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. My guests today do not play in the NBA, but they did get a chance to play, in a sense, with the best player of this era, LeBron James, in his new movie, Space Jam, A New Legacy. They are the director, Malcolm Lee, and the actor, Don Cheadle, who plays LeBron's nemesis in the film. I interviewed the two of them separately for a story that is on SI.com about working with LeBron James on Space Jam, A New Legacy. Also spoke with Cedric Joe, who plays LeBron's son in the film. That audio did not quite turn out well enough for the podcast. So for the pod today, we've just got Malcolm Lee and Don Cheadle. They were both wonderful. They've both got phenomenal stories from being on set with LeBron, working with LeBron. And that was what I went into that story wondering. We kind of got a sense over the years of what it's like to be LeBron's teammate in the NBA, what it's like to pursue championships with him, and all that entails. But what's it like to work with LeBron James, the actor, for days and hours and weeks at a time? Well, it turns out it's pretty enjoyable also. Really enjoyable. These guys talk about becoming friends with him, or in Malcolm Lee's case, trying not to become friends. The text exchanges that Don Cheadle now has with LeBron, playing basketball or trying not to play basketball around LeBron. There's just all kinds of fun little ins and outs of what it's like to be on set making a film with LeBron James. Think you're going to enjoy both of those guys. Before we get to that, a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to The Crossover wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always hit me with your feedback on Twitter at Howard Beck. Okay, my interviews with Malcolm Lee first, followed by Don Cheadle, coming up. So stick around.
This is The Crossover, an NBA show hosted by Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
It's a whole new level for you and me, Chris, this relationship.
Like and subscribe for the best weekly NBA content these two are capable of.
What does that mean?
Could be the best duo ever.
I don't see how you can beat that.
Here they are, Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
Now, very pleased to be joined by the director of Space Jam, A New Legacy, Malcolm D. Lee. Malcolm, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for spending some time. So before we talk about the film and about LeBron's role in this film, the obvious question in coming to this project, I assume you're an NBA fan and you're a native New Yorker. I assume Knicks fan, but sometimes I shouldn't make those assumptions. What are your NBA passions prior to LeBron entering your film life?
That's funny. Yes, a huge NBA fan, huge basketball fan since I was early teenager. I'm starting to come back to the Knicks. I never left really, but it's been difficult. having, you know, grown up in the 80s and 90s and seeing Patrick Ewing, and who also went to my alma mater and is now coaching my alma mater, you know, you know, it's hard to see the futility and the mismanagement that's been happening, you know. But it seems like they're turning around, so I'm happy about that. I was pulling for Brooklyn before they, you know, mortgaged their future twice. You know, I feel like you really need an all-star team right now. There were some good pieces. It was a good team. Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert, and, you know, let them all go. So, you know, it's hard, and I love Kyrie, I love Durant, I love Harden, but dang, like all of them together on the same team, it's a little tough. And I will tell you, here's the other thing. I am a New Yorker. One of my childhood buddies happens to be the president of the Bucks. So I do have a little Bucks loyalty as well, believe it or not.
That's Mr. Fagan?
That's right, Peter Fagan. Well, that's right. Now, I don't call him Mr. Fagan. Mr. Fagan was his dad, you know, but no, he's Peter to me, and a bunch of other names I can't say on a podcast.
So you got some conflicting loyalties in the Nets Bucks series, I guess. All right, so this leads me to this important question. Then I need the honest answer. Prior to working with LeBron, were you rooting for or against LeBron as a Knicks fan? Was he somebody that you gravitated toward as an NBA fan? What was your LeBron standpoint?
I tell you what, I love LeBron James, love him. You know, from the moment he came into the league or he came into my consciousness, I've really enjoyed him, and I've been rooting for him for a very long time. We were scheduled to work together twice before. You know, when he was, you know, when he was his second or third year in the league, Rich Paul had called me about, you know, possibly doing something with him, and I couldn't quite figure out what the idea was. And then we were going to do this thing with Imagine and Universal about like a fantasy basketball camp, and we were going down the road with that, like right before he joined the Heat. So I've been a LeBron fan for a very long time. I know I'm going to contradict myself by saying like, oh, what's up with the super team? When he joined the Heat, I was just like, he could not find a way to win in Cleveland. And then he came back to win in Cleveland. So I applaud him. I think he's a winner. I think he's, you know, he stands for everything good in the world, you know, for human beings. So I really root for LeBron and have for a while.
So that was an easy thing then to be working with him. It wasn't like, you know, bringing in somebody who was like, I've been like booing you and like rooting for against your team. So this was an easy thing to
bridge. It was an easy, you know, thing for, with LeBron for sure. I mean, like, you know, been dying to work with the guy, you know, and so it was a great opportunity.
I assume somebody in your position, having worked in film for probably your entire adult life, you're kind of numb to celebrity at a certain point, but it's LeBron James. There's a different kind of thing when it's athletes versus actors and everything else. Was there anything to, you know, are there nerves the first time you're working with LeBron, directing LeBron? You know, did you, anything you have to overcome as a fan now working with him as the director?
Here's what I had to overcome. I had to overcome trying to be his friend, you know, trying to be his boy. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, but because I was like, that's not gonna serve me well. It's not gonna serve the movie well. So I kept my you know, my fandom at bay, and said, okay, this is a director actor relationship here. You know, fortunately we had met before, and then we just got to know each other much better. And so the great thing was, he was very trusting of me, you know, I guess, you know, because he had seen, you know, the stuff that I'd done. And so when I'm giving him direction, he's going to have to trust, you know, that I'm after something. And it's funny. There was one time where we were shooting in an exterior in a basketball court, and LeBron, you know, he always takes time to shoot or whatever. So, you know, one time I was shooting with him, and I had shot, and I had made sure not to shoot around with him at all. Like, you know, and I wasn't a conscious him. I just, you know, did it very, very sporadically, like on set when we're doing interior. But when we were doing this exterior, we had a little downtime, and I was shooting, and I must have hit like 8 in a row, right? And LeBron says, oh, yeah, you can shoot. I stopped shooting after that. I was like, okay, that's it. He's never going to see me shoot again. I'm never going to get a moment better than this.
How far were you when you hit those 8 shots in a row? I have to ask.
Hey, I was at least top of the key extended.
All right. Yeah. So respectable.
Well, it was respectable. And otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. He would. If LeBron James says you can shoot, then that's legit.
Yeah. No doubt. You were right to go out on that.
That was it.
Yeah. I have a rule personally. I will never, ever try to do anything with a basketball in my hands while NBA players are anywhere within a mile of me. It can only go badly for a sports writer covering the league. So
it can only go badly. No question.
We talk about players being coachable. I don't know if you talk about actors being directable, but how coachable, directable was LeBron?
As I stated before, he very much. I mean, but again, that comes with trust. You know, you have to gain the actor's trust. You have to, engender that bond, where he can, if I say something to him, he's going to, take it to heart and say, okay, how do I do this? So, no insecurities, no kind of back talk about it, no resistance, he was game for pretty much anything, especially if it was fun, you know what I mean? And even when it came to some of the emotional stuff where he has to get a little bit emotional in the movie, and it's going to surprise people, because there's a father son story. There is a disconnect between father and son in the movie, and the journey of Space Jam is how they start seeing eye to eye better. I think it's a universal story. And as far as LeBron, he wanted it to be great. And he wants to be great. And he was never somebody that was like, oh, I'm going to be in my trailer, or I can't, come to set right now or whatever. Always on time, really never left the set. When there were like hundreds of people around, he was great. I had a really good time directing him.
I was going to ask, and maybe you've already answered the question, but I was going to ask, what was the most challenging thing that the script called for that you asked him to do? Was it some of these emotionally taught moments with his on-screen son? Was there something else that kind of made, really, for somebody who's obviously not a trained actor, to try to embrace?
I think the emotional stuff actually wasn't that difficult. And I think that may have been, because I gave him something to think about. It may have been, the rapport had been strengthened over time. Comedy is hard, right? Or even subtlety and nuance is hard. So, and I can't say that, I'm thinking of, a couple of specific lines, but they weren't it's just I always want something super specific. And so I'll have them do, a number of takes and whatnot, but nothing that was insurmountable, or nothing that I felt like, oh, that's gonna that'll cut well, So nothing, but he, again, for somebody who's not a trained actor, he did very well, and he's very believable. I mean, and people say, oh, he's playing himself, but it's kind of hard to play yourself,
I was gonna ask, yeah, I guess we assume it's easier for the athlete to just play themselves, but that's not necessarily the case, right? Because he's not truly playing himself. He's playing some version of himself. In terms of that, did you go and look? Did you watch Trainwreck? Did you watch anything else that he had done before to get a gauge on what you're dealing with here? Do you prepare yourself, is he just walking on day one and you just go?
Well, I had seen Trainwreck. I had seen his commercials, obviously, seen plenty of interviews, and you get a sense of a person with that background and with that research. And again, I didn't do formal research. I had spent a little bit of time with him talking about movies and stuff. So, I then just hanging out with him, just getting a sense of his personality and what I thought could be translated well on screen, what his strengths were that we could, capitalize on. But no, I wouldn't say I didn't need extensive research on him. It's whatever an actor does in their past, in their commercial or movies or television show, it's you hope that they can deliver lines, believably, authentically, then that's what you want. And then you'll find out, well, is that an edit actor, or is that an actor that can actually deliver stuff? And sometimes, it's like that with professional actors, they don't always cut together well, or you have to cut them together in order to craft a better performance. I didn't really find that with LeBron. I found like that, you know, he was pretty solid, you know, and pretty consistent with it, with what he did, you know, like when it comes to like, you know, again, comedy, you can't really, you can't rely on people who aren't naturally funny, and he's funny. He's a funny guy and he loves to laugh, but like, you know, I've worked with, you know, some of the best comedians in the world, and like, you know, like they're able to just improv stuff, and you can't do that with somebody like LeBron. You got to like give him something. And by the way, there were a couple lines we threw at him and he was able to deliver them as well. I mean, so it's really, it's kind of a, you know, it's a catch all. I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Jackie's letting us know that we're just about out of time. So last thing is, what's the most memorable moment with him, you think, on set, if anything fits that, whether it was a scene, whether it was, or even if it was just on set, but off camera,
You know, like I said, you know, I think that, that time that I was shooting was very memorable for me, and just a great, you know, thing, you know, memory of mine. I think, you know, like him getting that emotional beat that I wanted him to get, was really strong, and I'm very proud that he was able to go there. And then like when he was off camera, I had to have the son be emotional as well. So I was like, I need you to do that again, you know? And he was like, again, I was like, yeah, it's going to help your scene partner. And, you know, he was game for it. So again, I think LeBron just wants the movie to be great. And look, this is tremendous pressure on him just as a human being, you know, as a basketball player, you know, as certainly following in the Space Jam legacy. It's like, you know, hey, he wants it to be great. And he took it very, very seriously.
Although I will say, like, this adds a whole other layer to the GOAT debate. And MJ did not necessarily rate out well as an actor in that movie. So I hate to put you on the spot, but is LeBron win the GOAT debate on acting alone in Space Jam versus Space Jam?
Well, we'll let the audience decide, you know? I mean, I will tell you this. There are going to be plenty of people that, you know, no matter how well LeBron does on the screen, they will say that, you know, that Jordan is better. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think LeBron puts on a very, very good performance.
Fair enough. Appreciate that. You handled that perfectly. Thank you. And we've probably run over. So Jackie, thank you for letting us slide here a little bit. But I know you've probably got a bunch of these stacked up. So I would love to chat for another hour, but you got
Me
a lot
too,
to answer,
Howard.
So I appreciate
the time. We'll do it. Let's make it happen.
Absolutely. No, down the road, let me know. We'd love to have you back on the podcast in full. So that would be great.
I appreciate that. No doubt.
All right. That was Malcolm Lee. And up next is my interview with Don Cheadle, who plays LeBron's nemesis in the film Algorithm. My curiosity as somebody who's covered the NBA for a long time is just obviously what it's like for actors, directors, everyone else to share this space with LeBron that is obviously not his usual place of dominance. So let me just start with this, actually. You obviously have spent, you know, your life in entertainment. I kind of assume sometimes that celebrities don't get nerves, you know, anxiety around other celebrities, but it's LeBron James. He's a celebrity of a different type. So did you know him before? Do you ever get any nerves around somebody who's a celebrity of a different, you know, field?
I mean, I don't know. Nerves is the right word, maybe, but there's definitely an excitement around meeting somebody like LeBron, who is, you know, one of one in many ways. And kind of, you know, I think the nerves would be less meeting me sort of on my field, which is me attempting to, you know, do anything in his world. So it was a great experience, and he definitely brought all of his professionalism and you know, team kind of concept and identity to the set, and we had a great time.
Did you know him at all before? Had you guys crossed paths at award shows or something, events?
No, we had never met before, before I met him on the set. But obviously spent a lot of time there and at things outside of there, you know, see him at the random birthday party and whatever else event was going on.
dinners and things, but we've, you know, kept in touch since then, and it's nice to, and rare to, you know, make another friend that sticks as an adult.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm sure, you know, a mutual respect as guys who are at the top of your very different fields. So what is it? What is the ongoing conversation or relationship now like with obviously this base of having worked together on this project, and now you guys are social? What's, you know, give me, without revealing anything obviously too private, what are the text conversations like when you're texting with LeBron in the course of a season?
Well, they're not always, you know, basketball related. They're often about everything that's happening outside of that, you know, politics for sure, especially this last year.
Yeah.
You know, we're both fathers, so, you know, that those subjects come up. We talk about that kind of stuff. And really, you know, music, literally whatever is happening, that'll pop up. You know, he'll send me a random text about something, and we'll have a conversation. And, you know, it's just one of those ongoing things. I was definitely in communication with him a lot during the series. And, you know, I would always send him some meme or some inspirational quote or, you know, something funny or, you know, before the game. And he was, you know, we just get back and forth on those things.
So you guys have become like genuine friends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's rare to make. Well, often we, you know, in these, when we do these projects as actors, we like form these kind of satellite, you know, families that, you know, or hang really, really hard. You know, you're on the set 14 hours a day and spending a lot of time together on set. So that bonding is, you know, happens. But often then we all go off and do our own things and don't, you know, some people I have, you know, haven't seen again after having such a close and, you know, sort of a concentrated experience. But he and I, like I said, it's rare, but we're able to stay in touch, and that's kind of cool.
That is. Can you give me, like, what's the best meme or inspirational quote you might have sent him during the playoffs?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I could look them. I don't know. I just always, whatever I find, you know, it depends. Did they lose the game? Did they win the game? You know,
yeah.
If they lost the game, you know, then he shit, let's go. You know, whatever. If they, like, try to go and, you know, and they won one, it'll be somebody celebrating or doing some, you know, latest victory dance. It's just whatever silly stuff, you know. It's usually lighthearted stuff. Like, he doesn't need a coach. He doesn't need another coach or another someone to console him. He's a fully formed adult. So it's just stuff to let him know I'm, you know, thinking about him and digging him from afar.
Yeah, fair enough. Don, how big of an NBA fan were you prior to working with LeBron? And the honest answer, were you actually a LeBron fan or a Laker fan, or what were your rooting interests prior to working on the film?
Well, I was always a LeBron fan, you know, since he came into the league, he just was a phenom. And I loved, you know, and I asked him about it, you know, like his first year in the league or first few months in the league. What I remember more about him than anything were his passes, or the dimes that he would be sending to people that would going through, you know, the passes look like they would bend the space-time continuum, and I just remember so many teammates not being ready for them, but they didn't think it would, they could possibly get through the spaces that he would get them through, and so fast and hard. He kind of had to learn how to you know, modulate that, and we talked about that. You know, I would just say, like, damn, people weren't ready for that, and he'd just, like, you know, send back a laughing emoji. Yeah, I had a lot to learn. You know, he's very humble at the same time about it.
Yeah.
You know, I really started getting heavily into basketball when I moved to L.A. So, you know, I was a Lakers fan during the, you know, Magic and Worthy era, and, you know, Byron, all those dudes. And it's cool to now, later in life, like, know all those guys, you know, and be able to rap with them. That's pretty special too.
So on set, describe, this is obviously not LeBron's first foray into acting. You know, did Train Wreck, some other stuff, and obviously a ton of commercials from the time he was like 18 years old or whatever, but describe him as an actor and be you know, brutally honest from a professional standpoint as you can.
I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised. You know, he has a lot more to do in this one than he did in Trainwreck, but I think people were surprised about Trainwreck. He was really funny and got the assignment, as they say. And in this one, you know, he has, you know, there's a lot more on his shoulders as far as what he has to convey and the, you know, the character that he has to portray, although it's supposed to be him. You know, he's acting. He's obviously acting in a virtual world, and he's got a family and all of that stuff. But I think it really, from what I've seen anyway, from the post stuff that I've seen, it's really good, and he's really believable.
Does he act for, or does he ask for acting tips along the way? Are there moments where, like, he's seeking your counsel or others on set about how to do? I mean, it is still new to him for the most part.
Yeah, no, I think there wasn't really those kinds of conversations. Although we would talk about, you know, what was happening in scene and, you know, what we were trying to do, and you know, he was very, very directable. Took directions well and could make adjustments and things that, you know, actors have to do all the time. And he, like I said, he got it. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he was there for it, and was always, you know, on time. We were never waiting around for LeBron, you know, never acted like a diva, even though he was dealing with a lot of stuff during that time, you know, trying to put the team together. He was nursing an injury. He was, you know, still having to, like, go to practices and workouts and stuff. So it was a lot on his shoulders.
Yeah, remind me, what was the time frame? This was last it was this past summer, right?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of get lost. I think it was even before that.
Oh, you're right. Actually, it would have had to have been. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the year before that. We did reshoots last year. We had to do some of those during COVID, and that was, you know, different because we didn't shoot originally under those conditions. So, you know, I just remember reshoots and protective gear and masks and all that. So that had to be past, you know, post-March and everything.
Yeah. What do you think the most challenging thing he had to do in this film was from an acting standpoint? And where did you, was there a moment where you kind of sat back and went like, oh, wow, I didn't think he could go there, or was it a particularly challenging scene?
I think probably all of the family stuff, you know, that's the biggest thing he had to deal with. And I didn't, you know, my character isn't really around for those scenes that he had with his son and everything. But I think that was sort of the most intense and most, the heaviest stuff that he was having to do in the movie, acting wise. With us, it was, you know, we're working around a lot of, you know, blue screen and virtual stuff and having to play off into empty space or a cardboard cutout, you know, as these stand-ins for these tunes, stuff that they did later in post. But you just have to have a good imagination. And I just remember one scene that we had. I don't even know if the scene is still in. I don't think the scene's still in the movie, actually, but we had like a rap battle. And he was just supposed to be standing back there with the tunes. And he jumped up on stage and started performing with them and everything. And, you know, after we cut, he's like, yeah, I wasn't just going to stand back there. like, oh, so you understand that you can get in where you fit in, too. And, you know, as long as it works, it works. So he was pretty comfortable.
How were each of you in that rap battle? Who's better?
Well, come on. It wasn't him. He actually didn't have any. He wasn't rapping. He was just supposed to be supporting the tune. But yeah, it was. I don't know if it made the final cut. A lot of stuff we did. I had a whole dance scene of that. I don't think is in it either.
I'll eventually see that screener, and we'll see. We'll see what made it there. So what's the most memorable? That sounds like that. This might answer that question, but I was going to ask, like, what was your most memorable moment with him? And it doesn't have to necessarily be anything that was on camera. It could have just been, you know, on set in general. But what was the most memorable moment with him?
I mean, there's so many. There was a long shoot, you know, and I think there would be, you know, just more things happening. Like after we wrapped, we you know, the day that we wrapped, we hung out. I brought in a really nice bottle and we just hung out with some of the crew and cast afterwards, you know, outside trailer, and kind of set up a little screening area and just hung out. And you know, I was like, all right, LeBron, we got to have a handshake. I know you have it with all the teammates, but we got to have one. So we like came up with a handshake. So now it's like, all right, cool. Now LeBron and I have a specific handshake too. So that's kind of cool.
That's one for the resume. How long is it?
Yeah. How long is it?
Yeah.
Time-wise?
No, some of those are pretty intricate, right?
Oh, it's pretty intricate. It's several moves, but it's appropriate. Everything in it is for a reason. That's what each one of them means something. You know, each part of the shake means something.
Oh, that's cool. Can you describe it, or is that too inside?
No. It's too inside. You'll just have to see it happen on the carpet. Oh, that's that shake.
Now I'm curious. I can't wait to see it. And then we'll go scene by scene and break it down like the Zapruder film, you know?
Exactly. Oh, man, that's a terrible reference, but I know what you're saying.
That is a terrible reference. It is the first thing I thought of when going frame by frame. Your Honor, I withdraw the analogy.
Yeah. No, I mean, what I mean more, it's more like the Anwar Sadat thing. Oh, no, terrible. Another bad one.
Yeah, I'm going to come up with something that's not an assassination or an attempt. So I talked to Malcolm Lee last week. It sounds like there wasn't a lot of basketball being played off on the side on set, but he did say that like LeBron saw him shooting at one point, credited him, praised him, complimented him for like making 8 shots in a row. And Malcolm's like, all right, that's it. I'm out. I'm not taking another shot. Did you have any moment like that with him? Was there any basketball being played or were you like, you know what? You don't want to shoot around like one of the greatest players of all time.
Oh, I would. I love to shoot around. I would have been shooting around all the time. You know, my character, however, was often wearing CGI clothes that wouldn't allow me to shoot around. So I'd be in a suit. Nothing I was ever wearing was conducive to the shoot around. And you know, at the time, LeBron was nursing an injury, and the last thing I wanted to be was the dude who was playing basketball with him when he pulled a hammy or something, you know.
Probably a good call. All right, so he didn't see you shooting the way he saw Malcolm shooting then? There was no moment like that?
Oh, what, Malcolm, that he made 8 shots in a row? Is that what Malcolm says?
Malcolm claims, I'm taking him at his word, that he made 8 shots in a row at one point, and LeBron, like, saw this and, like complimented him, like, oh, you can really shoot. And then Malcolm was like, he stopped right there. Like, that was it. Went out on the high note.
Yeah, no more for him. At any moment that they were dead, but CJ and him, he went at it. The Cedric, who plays his son, and he would always go at it. And that was actually some cool stuff to see. It's not them playing, but to see Cedric, you know, getting tips on moves from LeBron, and just their rapport was great. I remember one day while I was asking LeBron about just like when he comes back, is he going to run point? Is he going to play the two? What was what was going to happen on the team? And, you know, kind of us chopping that up and him kind of standing there with his arms crossed on top of Cedric's head, just kind of relaxed and just talking and just Cedric like beaming. Like, I'm here hanging out with LeBron James. He was just so geeked about the whole thing. And to see their rapport was really, really nice because it was a really easy one. When you see the movie, you know, you believe that they're father and son. It really is. It's a nice relationship.
Like you could really feel it. Like it felt very genuine.
Oh, absolutely. They were just super, that's what's the cool thing about it is how relaxed they had become around each other. And that there's a genuine affection between the two of them. It's nice to see.
LeBron, better actor or you, better shooter? Who's better in the other's field?
Well, until I, you know, had to retire because of my knee, I would say, oh, why does it have to be better? Why do you have to put on a better? We're so best with better or worse.
It's a very sports writer question.
Yes, it is. I know. I would say my prime, I'm probably a better shooter than. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not falling for the trap. I'm not taking the bait. Sorry. That's a different question.
Fair enough. How about a different trap? A better actor in a Space Jam movie, LeBron or MJ?
Oh, God. You really want me to have to be in an uncomfortable spot when I see either of these dudes. I think that LeBron was asked to do more than Michael had to do in the first one. You know, LeBron has more things that he had to try to pull off in this movie. So just, you know, it's like how I feel about the Oscars. Malcolm McDowell is the person that said it earlier. He's like, you can't say who's the best unless everybody's doing the same thing. It's like, sure. You can't compare what LeBron had to do versus what Michael had to do. They're different parts. But I think that because of, you know, having the first one to, and not just that, but the experience of being, like you said, LeBron's done commercials, he's done, there's just a lot more for him to look at and learn from that, you know, he's benefited from that for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair too. Like with Michael, it was kind of a one-off. Obviously, he'd done a ton of commercials, but he hadn't really spent time dedicating himself to acting in movies. And LeBron has already done that. So besides that, Michael, one of the great all-time turns on Saturday Night Live back in the day. So he gets a pass.
Exactly. Up with Al Franken was hilarious.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of. Michael with Al Franken was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else? Any other memorable moments from the set, or any other parting things before I let you go?
No, I don't have any anecdotal stuff. Just in general, you know, we were the film had gone through some changes and some, you know, personnel changes and some tricky stuff, and to be able to come back with Malcolm and but ultimately pull it off. I think it's really great. You know, it's like I had told LeBron at one point when he was, you know, showing up after rehearsals and getting therapy, you know, PT and all this stuff and putting the team together. And then he'd be there in time and costume ready to go. I was like, you could be being a much bigger diva. You know, you're really being a good team player and everything. And he's like, yo, man, I'm here for it. So it was good to see. I was not surprised that he would be that way, but I was definitely appreciative that, you know, he put the movie first when we were doing the movie. I know at some point he was like, what the hell was I thinking? But he's like, this is nothing like what I have to do. This is nothing like, you know, playing ball. He's like, I'm not there for 14 hours.
Yeah.
5 days a week.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised that he was as all-in committed to this as he would be to anything else, though, right? Like, that's his character. That's what we know of him, right?
Exactly. He was all in.
Actually, last quick detail question. What kind of wine did you buy? You said you got the bottle of wine for the wrap. What was the what kind of wine?
No, I said a bottle. I didn't say wine. It wasn't wine. It was tequila.
Oh, okay.
It was... I think it was the 1942. I think that's what it was.
What's the label?
I think it's Don Julio. It's the Reposado.
Oh, got you. I didn't know. I always took LeBron as a wine guy, because that's kind of been the thing. He walks into the Staples Center with a glass of wine. So.
No. He was he's a Don Julio guy. It's anyway.
Gotcha. Good to know. Good stuff. Don, this has been great, man. I really appreciate you spending the time. Thanks so much. Big fan of your work, of course, and pleasure to get to chat a little bit. Looking forward to writing this story.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, that's it for today's show. My thanks again to Malcolm Lee and Don Cheadle for spending the time. Loved chatting with both of those guys. Thank you so much to Melanie Klein over at Warner Brothers and to Joe Favorito for helping connect us. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Shelby Royston, and thank you all for listening. And hey, please go check out my story about Space Jam from earlier this week. It's on SI.com. You can find it there. Remember, you can hear Chris Mannix and me every Tuesday on The Crossover. Yes, throughout the whole offseason as well. We got a lot coming up with free agency and the draft, all the usual craziness. You can find us every Tuesday on The Crossover with all the latest NBA chatter. And on Fridays, it's me and a guest. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And hit me with all your feedback on Twitter at Howard Beck.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.